Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's Tuesday, March the 28th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson about the commodity markets. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. And we'll have an extended conversation today with Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist from the University of Illinois. We'll discuss nitrogen rates and the new range of rates that are being put in place not only here in the state of Illinois, but also in Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, Iowa adopting a little wider range as well. That all happens this afternoon on the Closing Market Report. Stay with us. Oh, and don't forget, just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather right here on AM 580.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this in the wheat pit. The nearby May contract, 341 and a quarter for the soft red winter wheat, was up a penny and a half today. July futures at 354 and a half, up 2 3/4. In Kansas City, they still haven't posted the settlement prices. One of the last trades at 402, up 4 1/2 for the May wheat there. From the corn pit in Chicago, a nearby contract traded the May to 222 and a quarter on a settlement price, up a half. July 233 and a quarter, up 3/4. September futures at 242 and 3/4, up 1/4 for the day. And December contract finished unchanged at 254 and 1/2. Soy complex now. Bean futures, May contract, 581 and 1/2. They were up 2. July futures up 2 1/2 at 594 and 1/2. And the August contract at $5.99, up 2 1/4. November contract, 610, up 2 cents for the day. Bean meal futures, 178.40. They were down 40. Bean oil, May contract up 25 at 22.91. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby March feeder cattle, 103.72 and a half. They were up 30 cents on the day. April live cattle off 40 cents at $81.47 and a half cents a hundredweight. And the April lean hogs at $57.45 were down 30 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, tell me about the day's trade, please.
Well, today's trade was, we started the evening trade a little higher than what some of us expected, a little bit, very strong. Started with just a little follow-through this morning. And then things pretty well died for the day. Very unactive trade through most of this session. A little pop going into the close and quietly faded into the sunset. So it's report week. The volume wasn't that bad when we looked at the player sheets and some stuff happening, but only about half the size of yesterday as far as what was going on, and a little bit more evenly split, but we did see a little bit of buying activity or flurrying to the close. We were trying to deal in some options out there today. Very thin trade in a lot of the options. The bid and offers were ranging a cent to cent and a half apart. We're generally there within a half cent. So somewhat of a thin, nervous trade going into the weekend here.
Yeah, as we come up on Friday, we'll check in on the grain stocks report and the acreage numbers, and I suppose the expectations are the trade will be very quiet until we get to Friday morning's trade on the open.
Yeah, and there was even somebody that made a comment on their noon comments today that, yeah, we'll trade that for the first 10, 15 minutes, and then we'll go to the next week's forecast.
Well, that's right. It seems to me that there's an awful lot of emphasis on the weather across the Midwest. In fact, when I had my discussion this morning with Emerson Nafziger, we talked about this just a bit. And even here in the state of Illinois, where the subsoil or the moisture levels have actually come back pretty good across most of the state. I was looking, I think, at the drought the Palmer Drought Monitor, and it didn't show drought in any place, maybe one county in the state of Illinois anymore. But there seems to be that there may be an awful lot of premium left in the marketplace. Are you hearing rumblings that that's the case?
Well, I think there's a lot of rumblings about what if. We've got a lot more what ifs and premium this year than most, Todd. We have talked a lot with the kind of carryover numbers we have in corn and beans. We seem to be very scared of the what if of the weather and, you know, the idea that the southeast is maybe a little bit drier, a little bit of the pattern, something like 1988, but not to the same degree by any means, and then the dryness out west. So we seem very concerned. We're very worried about that, and we've kept a lot of weather premium as well as inflation premium in this market because of the index funds.
And what are farmers asking you most often when they call in?
Well, today the phones didn't ring a lot. It was very quiet in Chicago and here and like that. But the main thing is, you know, do we think we're going to go back and test the higher limits of the corn market here, and will beans stay above $6 with the way that with all the supplies we have in the beans? And you know, the farmers, most all of as we go to, if we went to the meetings and looked like that, a lot of farmers still have a percentage of their grain left priced for this year, and they still feel there's going to be a summer rally. Along the way, and still feel there's going to be some other opportunities for this new crop with some sort of weather scare coming up. So a lot of optimism or pessimism, however you want to look at it, if we're talking about the actual weather conditions.
History would tell us that there will be another opportunity sometime maybe in May, June, maybe as early as late as early July to price a portion of the old crop and the new crop out.
Yeah, Todd, one of the things we might want to point out today is there was one of the advisory services that popped in today with the energies up the way they were and even made a recommendation to buy 50% of all the spring diesel fuel and natural gas needs. You know, and that the natural gas, of course, for a lot of the people that irrigate, that's a big thing with the market up as high as it is right now to be saying you better push and get 50% covered before it goes higher.
That would seem to me. Let's see, what did crude trade to? To the grade, crude's at 66.10, and they're suggesting that you pop in and buy energies at this point.
They were covering 50% of their diesel fuel and natural gas needs.
Wow, that's
yeah.
I think what's crude's high price is $68?
Yeah, June crude is 66.92 on the close today.
Yeah, and that's up on the high end of where it's ever traded, isn't it?
That's on the high side, yes.
Wow. So if they're making that recommendation, they're expecting some pretty volatile markets over the next several months.
It doesn't sound good for my little car that takes premium gasoline in the summer, does it?
It does not. Anything that we need to discuss in the meats for the day?
Well, the meats, I think, you know, the cattle on feed report said a lot. It told us we were going to have some pretty big supplies. That's sort of a standoff as far as cash cattle trade this week. The packers don't want to come up. The producers think that there's not a lot of cattle ready for this week, and they think the packers will have to come up. So, but you know, we, after, like I say, seeing the cold storage report and where things are at, we think the packers are probably going to win out there. As far as the hogs, same thing. The cold storage report basically told us we've got a lot of pork out there, all the other problems, and a lot of chicken that isn't moving is sort of backing up some of the stuff there. So that's what we're looking at more than anything.
Wayne, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, Doc.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Mark Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Well, at the bottom of this hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Scott Althoff. Forecast for tonight across the two-state region, patchy fog, rather, possible. Otherwise cloudy to partly cloudy. Lows, he says, will be between 34 and 39. Tomorrow, early morning, patchy fog giving way to a mix of clouds, some sunshine. The highs tomorrow from 50 along the Chicago lakefront to around 63 in the southern part of the state of Illinois.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Hey, don't forget, you can always find out more about the ag here on WILL at WILLag.org. Up next, an extended conversation with Emerson Nafziger, extension agronomist from the University of Illinois, about the new nitrogen recommendations that are being put in place here in the state of Illinois, as well as across the Midwest. It's spring, and usually we're not talking too much about nitrogen application at this time of year, although some farmers do put some anhydrous ammonia and other types of nitrogen on. The high price of nitrogen last fall, I think, prompted a few to stay out of the field with the applicators, and now they're getting ready to move. And we've got a new nitrogen formula, not only here in Illinois, but in the Midwest. It's really not a formula. It's just a new way to calculate a set of ranges for application. Tell me about it.
Right. People did look at nitrogen prices last fall. A few might have stayed out of the field with nitrogen, although nobody really had optimism that the price would drop by spring. I heard from a few that also said they went and put more on than they normally do just so they knew what the price was going to be. That uncertainty has been resolved by now, and prices going into the spring at least aren't a huge increase over what they were last fall. But most people with anhydrous this spring appear to be paying somewhere 33, 34 cents per pound of actual N. That's about 550 or so per ton of anhydrous ammonia. And with UAN, the price is higher, as it typically is, and we're in the range of 40 cents per pound of nitrogen if we're using UAN this spring. Many of the questions have revolved around, if we're going to use it, you know, isn't it more efficient to use it as side dress, and can't we use less if we go use it as side dress? And the new nitrogen data that we have that we're trying to work from to make these recommendations don't speak very clearly to that question. The answer for many people is, well, you probably can use somewhat less no matter when you put it on, but we don't have good data to say if you go to side dress, then you can take your rates down by 10 or 20 pounds. We don't think it's very dangerous if people decide they want to do that, but most of them can stay within the ranges that we suggest anyway.
So, and that range likely is to be less than what they have applied in previous years, depending on where they are in the state of Illinois.
How the rates in the new ranges compare to those under the old yield-based system of recommendations really depends on where you are, and it depends a little bit on what philosophy you've taken in the past. Although we like to take comfort in having a single number to say this is the rate we should use for this field this year, our data suggests what everybody kind of knew already, and that is that N responses are quite variable over years. It's really impossible to stand at the edge of the field and say, I know with absolute certainty that this crop this year needs exactly this many pounds of nitrogen. So all we're trying to do with this approach is to take the data that we've got, say, we think this data represents fields in this part of Illinois, and we think that we can take the data that we have, make a recommendation based on those response curves, and that recommendation or that recommended range of rates will apply to this field. We certainly never know that with much certainty. And most people realize that because, for example, it's always hard to know if we've used too much nitrogen in a field. I mean, we get a good yield. We say, well, I'm glad I used a lot of nitrogen. Was that 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 40 pounds too much? We really have no way to know. We feel good about it if we didn't see deficiency, and we feel good if the yield was high. On the other hand, if we use nitrogen for an expected yield of 170 bushel and we get 210 bushel, then we're probably wondering if we still used enough, but at least we know that the nitrogen rate we used didn't limit our corn yields to the actual rate that we had used. And one of the problems with the factor, the 1.2 times expected yield, is that it's, while it's based on data that was from trials done some time ago, it's never had the precision that a conversion factor like that implies that it has. And that's why when I've asked people this winter, well, if you reduce your nitrogen rates by 30 pounds per acre or so, how much do you think your yields will go down? And responses come back and people start thinking, well, that 1.2. And they think, well, you know, 20 or 30 bushel yield reduction. Well, our data shows that, you know, that never happens. I mean, in the part of the nitrogen curve where we operate, and that is, say, somewhere between 100 and 200 pounds, yield responses to nitrogen tend to be fairly gradual. So you might raise the rate 20 pounds, say from 150 to 170, and the yield might go up 2 bushel. You might lower the rate from 150 to 130. The yield might go down 4 or 5 bushel. None of this, you know, falling off of the edge of the table kind of, boy, we have just destroyed our yield here by limiting the amount of nitrogen we put on. So though we certainly never set out to make sure that people lowered their rates of nitrogen, that was never our intent. We want people to have some confidence in using a rate of nitrogen that's most likely to give them the best return to their nitrogen dollar. And when nitrogen got more expensive, of course, this question got a lot more pointed and said, well, the price signal for nitrogen, and corn price isn't really going up very much, so the signal tells me we probably ought to be reducing the nitrogen rate. How much should we reduce it? And we think that our data helped to answer that question. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that there's nothing precise about nitrogen recommendations. I don't think in my lifetime we'll ever be able to get very precise about them. All we can do is kind of guess at them using data that we've seen before, saying we think under these conditions this kind of N rates make sense, and going from there.
Do the ranges that are offered for northern, central, and southern, and I'm assuming that's the way it's divided up, but
yes.
Do the ranges offered in those areas actually vary much from the top of the state to the bottom of the state?
When we first came out with this last fall, we were talking about a single bunch of data that we could use to make recommendations for the whole state. Since then, we've modified that by dividing the data into northern, central, and southern Illinois and seeing what those data tell us to do, if anything, differently in those three parts of the state. The answer is a little bit surprising, maybe. For central and southern Illinois, we find that the data are pretty similar to what we were using for the whole state. And as an example, if we have, let's say, 40-cent nitrogen in central Illinois, and we expect a corn price of $2.40, our range of rates that we would suggest based on those numbers is about 135 to about 170 pounds of nitrogen. That's for corn following corn. Well, if we looked at the whole data set, it came out with numbers pretty similar to that. In northern Illinois, it changed, however, and this was a little bit unexpected. Although the northern Illinois rates look very much like Iowa rates, and I guess we would sort of anticipate that might be the case. Two things happened in northern Illinois. The rates for corn following corn actually went up, and the rates for corn following soybean actually went down. So we have, for example, if we're in northern Illinois with $2.40 corn and 40-cent nitrogen, which would be a sort of a UAN side dress price probably, we're looking at about 150 to 190 pounds of nitrogen for corn after corn. For corn after soybean, we're looking at 103 to 134. Well, that's a pretty big difference. That's bigger than the soybean end credit we've talked about being 40 pounds. It's only about 50 pounds, so it's not vastly different. But those rates look really low to people in northern Illinois that are following corn after soybean, that have had good yields, and that expect, under the old system of the 1.2, you know, they would be applying upwards 180, 190 pounds of nitrogen. Well, our data in northern Illinois for corn following soybean, and we're not sure if it's the organic matter, if it's something about the temperatures, if it's something about a little more livestock in the past in many of these farms, but our data simply can't support putting nitrogen rates that high when you're following corn after soybean in northern Illinois. Are we ruling out that there could ever be a field where that might happen? Certainly not. That's one of the frustrating things about it. We never know exactly what this particular field will need, and so all we're left doing is making sort of our best guesses based on what our data have shown us. Now, it's important that you have data that really do represent the world out there, and that's one of the things that's come to us with this, and that is that we really need more data to put a more solid foundation under these numbers. And we're in the process of getting that starting this year. We hope to have 100 on-farm trials this year that just give us more data, and that means more confidence when we go and make these suggested N rates.
If we have listeners that would like to participate as one of those trial areas, do they simply contact you?
They can contact me. We had it in the bulletin last fall. We had sort of a solicitation. It's been in Farm Week. It's been, I believe, in Agri-News perhaps this spring. And most of the extension people know about it as well. I think we're filling in the state pretty nicely. Today, I think we probably have 70 or 80 sites that are likely. Most of these for this year, of course, are going to be side dress sites, so that's simply because side dressing is what's left to do in most places. For next year, we'll have a little advantage there where we might be able to get some fall applied and widen our base a little bit.
And finally, does the new range of rates fix any problems? And I guess I'm thinking mostly that the guys in the southern part of the state weren't really able to use their nutrient management plans effectively given the old formula, and that this might at some point help that.
Well, southern Illinois is, I guess if you'd want to consider it, they're perhaps beneficiaries of this approach. Our data have shown us that the lower yields that normally we get with corn in southern Illinois do not really translate into correspondingly low requirements for nitrogen. As a matter of fact, I think if we went back to the old data, we'd say that 1.2 formula that we applied for expected yield probably wasn't very good for southern Illinois, even from the start. And we have to remember, much of that data went back into the 1960s, when yields in Illinois in general weren't very high, and certainly in southern Illinois were considerably lower than they've seen the last number of years. And so there, the recommended N rates actually come up to be very similar to what they are in central Illinois. And I think one of the advantages will be that, you know, we won't need to maintain this problem that we've had there, and that is that the expected yields limit rates. People have complained for some time that these rates are too low, and our data actually support them in that. So southern Illinois, I think, is one area that should get some relief from this approach. But the statutes about what you follow, the Illinois Agronomy Handbook, which hasn't been revised with the new recommendations, still has the old ones in, and until that changes, it will still be the law when it comes to writing nutrient management plans and so on.
Thanks, Emerson. We appreciate it.
All right.
Emerson Napsiger is an extension agronomist for the University of Illinois. In just a moment, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Illinois Congressman Lane Evans of Rock Island, who has battled Parkinson's disease for more than a decade, says he won't be running for re-election in November. Evans released a statement today that announced his plans to retire at the end of his term. The 54-year-old Rock Island Democrat says his health makes it difficult to run for re-election and carry out his work as representative. Evans was first elected to Congress in 1982 and diagnosed with Parkinson's in 1995. Deliberations still have not resumed at the corruption trial of former Illinois Governor George Ryan in Chicago. Attorneys have been meeting behind closed doors with U.S. District Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer, who yesterday dismissed two jurors after questions were raised about their backgrounds. Prosecutors today rested their case against Maurice Legrone Jr., who's on trial in Bloomington, accused of drowning three children in Clinton Lake in 2003. The defense is beginning what's expected to be about a week of testimony by calling Legrone to the stand. Other than entering pleas of not guilty, Legrone and the children's mother, Amanda Hamm, have not spoken publicly since they were charged with murder. A court appearance is scheduled Monday for a Mattoon woman charged with first-degree murder and the death of her three-month-old son. Coles County State's Attorney Steve Ferguson says 23-year-old Marissa Williams told police she forced the baby's face into a blanket because he wouldn't stop crying. Indianapolis city officials are considering an ordinance that would bar sexual predators of children from going within 1,000 feet of playgrounds or most other places where children are present. The ordinance would be tougher than a new Indiana law that goes into effect in July. Illinois, Indiana, and the two other states that surround Lake Michigan have agreed to cut the number of Chinook salmon stocked in the lake this spring. It's part of an experiment aimed at propping up the lake's supply of alewife, the small fish that Chinook eat almost exclusively. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
This is the Closing Mark Report on WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Can we expect rainfall to continue across the Midwest?
It certainly looks that way. A very active pattern, a very typical one for late March heading into early April. All indications suggest that there's going to be some type of storm system or front traversing the Midwest and the Corn Belt probably about every 3 to 4 days. So the precipitation chances look very good over most of the Corn Belt, say all of it, especially the western areas. Areas that are likely going to see most of the moisture, the heaviest stuff, will be Iowa, sections of Missouri, central and northern western Illinois, Wisconsin, into eastern Kansas and Nebraska, as well as the eastern areas of South Dakota.
And then if you could tell me about the droughty areas and whether they've recovered at this point or how close to recovery they might be.
Well, they've got a ways to go. Last week's rains and snows were great news, but they need to have that followed up by some other wet spring storms. Right now, while the central and eastern areas of that drought area of the southern plain states and the western wheat areas are going to see a little bit of moisture, the far western fringes are still going to be lagging a bit. That would be western Kansas, the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle areas, eastern Colorado. They're still going to be on the fringes of these storms, not taking direct hits. So we need more help in those areas in terms of bigger, more moist storms.
And the areas in the northern part of the state of Illinois?
Well, those areas look like they're going to be getting more precipitation, especially next week. The way the storm track seems to be taking shape, northern and western Illinois has some decent chances at moisture.
Anything else around the globe we ought to check in on?
Well, one thing to watch out for here in Australia, again, their second hurricane in the last 2 weeks, Glenda, affecting the northern and northwest coastal areas of Australia. We'll have to see what kind of impact that will be over the next couple of days.
Harvest weather in South America?
Not bad. Still a little bit moist in areas of Brazil, but drying out, especially in some of those southern and southwest areas.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Tuesday afternoons. Remember, you can pick up most of our ag programming on our website at willag.org. Just type that into your favorite web browser. There you'll find the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, the Opening Market Report, the noon forecast that we get for the ag close for the day, and many other things, including our weekend newsletter. Just sign up at the subscribe button. It's all at willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a good afternoon.